Good afternoon. You're listening to KMHM 104.1 FM. It's time for a message from God's Word titled The Way It Ought to Be, brought to you by Pete Hornbuckle. Get your Bibles and be ready to dig into the Word of God this afternoon on The Way It Ought to Be with Pete Hornbuckle.
Good morning. This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be. The Bible tells us to prove all things, hold fast that which is good. You can read that in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21. This is a command from God, and it is given for our good. So we won't take things for granted. And so we will look into our Bibles and history, if need be, to find the truth about our religious practices, our religious beliefs, and so on. Now, if you truly are concerned about obeying God, about living and practicing His form of true religion, then you will want to prove all things, especially about religion, your beliefs and your practices in religion. We have all been reared in a Sunday-keeping world, and naturally, we take for granted that Sunday, the first day of the week, is the day that we should observe and attend church on. Well, is that true? Have you ever asked yourself, is that true? Have you looked into the teaching that Sunday is the Lord's Day, that the first day of the week is the day that you should keep, should observe, instead of the seventh day? Have you looked into that teaching, my friends? Have you proven one way or the other if that's true or if it's not true? The seventh day for the first day, we have substituted the seventh day for the first day. Have you asked your minister or your pastor where you attend church to prove to you that Sunday is the day that you should observe, and why you should disregard the true Sabbath, the seventh day that God blessed and hallowed? Have you ever asked yourself or your pastor who instituted this change, and by what authority, whose authority? Sunday is the first day of the week. Look at the calendar, any dictionary, or any encyclopedia will tell you that. Is Sunday observance then by Bible authority? The Christian Sabbath are truly the Lord's Day as it is properly called today? Which day did God bless? Notice what it says in Genesis 2, verses 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Now notice, God wants us to understand this. God wants us to get the point. He mentions the seventh day twice right here in this one verse, that he blessed the seventh day. It says, on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his works which he had done. Then verse 3, then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, speaking of the seventh day, the last day of the week, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. So God blessed, God hallowed, God put his presence in the seventh day of the week. God's presence is in the Sabbath. That is holy time. It's not time for you and me to do our thing, to ignore, to trample on God's holy time. That isn't what God intended. Did God decide later on that he made a mistake by setting apart and blessing and hallowing the seventh day and said, I should have blessed the first day? I don't think so. Do you? Do you think that's what happened? So we see that the Sabbath was put into effect or created the same week Adam and Eve were created. Now, God didn't need to rest. The Bible tells us that God doesn't grow weary and tired, that he doesn't run out of energy. So why was the Sabbath made? Notice what it says in Mark 2, verse 27. Mark 2 and verse 27 tells us why the Sabbath was made. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. So the Sabbath is made for man, and man is not made for the Sabbath. Man isn't to be a slave of the Sabbath, of course not. But it is a day that God set aside for a rest day, a day to draw close to God, a day to keep you in touch with God, a day to let you reflect back on creation, that in 6 days God created the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and on the seventh day He set it apart for man to rest and to remember this time and to keep it holy. It's God's day. Now, we're going to go through a series of broadcasts here about the seventh day. Today, I'm just kind of laying the foundation for the Sabbath here. And if you want to learn more, just keep listening, my friends. And we're going to go through a whole series of broadcasts, probably three or four of them before we end. And I'm going to prove to you from the Old and the New Testament as well that the Sabbath is still in effect. Verse 28 here, therefore the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. So this is telling us that God, that Christ, that they are Lord of the Sabbath. That's the true Lord's Day. Yes, that's the true Lord's Day. Why don't you get your Bible and read those scriptures for yourself? If you can prove that Sunday is the Lord's Day, or the true Sabbath that God hallowed, made holy, then that would confirm that you are observing the right day, and you have nothing to lose, do you? But if you could prove that Saturday, the last day of the week, is the true Lord's Day and the true Sabbath, then you should want to turn loose of tradition and begin obeying God. Now, you may scoff, mock, and ridicule the truth, but that doesn't change it, does it? The truth is still truth, no matter what you and I believe, or what we practice, or what we think, or what we do. The truth is still truth. God's Word is truth, and the truth is truth. God's Word is truth, always has been, always will be. One thing that we need to keep on our mind is that each one will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and be judged, not by our sincerity in what we have always believed through careless assumption, nor by our sincerity in following some new teaching without proof. We shall be judged by the Bible, God's Word. We need to realize that. Keep that on your mind, and you won't be too concerned about what others think about you. Notice what it says in Romans 14. Romans 14, verses 10 through 12. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That means you, that means me, my friends. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. And God says that we are rewarded according to our works. Yes, that we are rewarded according to our works. God says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Notice what it says in Philippians 2 and verse 12. Notice what God says here. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Sound like that we have a part in our salvation, doesn't it? Yes, sound like that we have a part in salvation. Now, we don't earn salvation. We don't work salvation and earn it in that way. Don't work for salvation, earn it in that way. It's a free gift from God. But God makes it plain in His Word that He will not give us that free gift unless we are willing to obey Him. Turn loose of tradition and be willing to obey God. Notice in the book of Isaiah 66, verses 1 through 2. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hands has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembles at my word. Yes, on the ones that is ready and willing to obey God, the one that fear to disobey God, the one that has respect for God and His Word, the ones that want to obey Him, and the ones that put out effort to do so. God says, this one will I look, and that means He will look favorably on you, and He will judge you according to your works, my friends. Yes, we have a part to play in our salvation. God will not give you that free gift of salvation if you care less about obeying God. It's that simple. I have only laid the groundwork now of a series of programs that I intend to do on the true Sabbath. If you are concerned about obeying God and your own salvation, then you will want to keep listening. I will prove from the Old and the New Testament that God the Father, or Jesus Christ, didn't change the Sabbath from the seventh day to the first day. Neither did God give anyone else that authority to do so. Neither did Christ nail the Sabbath to the cross or any other of the Ten Commandments. That seems to be the popular teaching today, doesn't it? That Christ nailed the Ten Commandments to the cross. My friends, it's time to wake up and quit taking your beliefs and your practices for granted. It's time to open your Bible and prove whether your beliefs and practices are pure religion or if they are spotted and dotted with paganism. We should want to know, shouldn't we? Because our salvation depends on this, my friends. God requires true Christians to worship Him, serve Him in sincerity and in truth, to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Now, did Christ keep the Sabbath? We're going to prove that in a future broadcast, that Christ kept the Sabbath and that Christ gave no one the authority to begin to keep the first day of the week holy instead of the last day of the week. Keep listening. We will get into that in a future program. In the meantime, if you would like to know more about this very important subject, we invite you to call toll-free for our free booklets, Why Do You Observe Sunday?, and our free article, Delight in the Sabbath. All you have to do to request those booklets is just dial 1-800-611-8080. That's 1-800-611-8080. Why Do You Observe Sunday? Request that free booklet, my friends. Request this free booklet or article, Delight in the Sabbath. My friends, if you would like to fellowship with a Sabbath-keeping group, a Saturday-keeping group, which is a Sabbath, we invite you to meet with us at 2 p.m. each Sabbath at Woodland Steakhouse. So if you would like to join us, you're welcome to do so. So this is Pete Hornbuckle saying I will see you next week with The Way It Ought to Be. I hope you keep listening to these series of programs because they are going to be eye-openers, my friends. Even if you scoff and if you mock, you need to know this. You need to hear this. So thanks for listening. And this is Pete Hornbuckle.
We hope you enjoyed today's program, The Way It Ought to Be, brought to you by Pete Hornbuckle and the Churches of God Outreach Ministry. Tune in every Monday through Friday at 3:30 for another program of The Way It Ought to Be. You're welcome to meet with the Marble Hill Church of God 7-Day Fellowship every Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. They're located on County Road 300, just one block from the Cat Ranch. That's the Marble Hill Church of God 7-Day Fellowship located on County Road 300, meeting every Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. And tune in again Monday through Friday at 3:30 for The Way It Ought to Be with Pete Hornbuckle and the Churches of God Outreach Ministry.